I'd like to welcome each one to the meeting tonight. Good to see so many out. Gospel meeting, and I'm going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. What a wonderful Savior that He is. That's going to be the subject of our meeting tonight. I'd like to sing two hymns at the start. The first one, number 4. Now that hymn really is talking about somebody who has accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I don't know the heart of each and every one of you here tonight, but God does. The Lord Jesus knows you through and through. Every single thing about you. Your thoughts. You're going to keep your thoughts on the meeting tonight. I hope they don't wander very far away. But that you'll just pour a little time here to think earnestly of the things that we'd like to present to you. And this hymn here speaks of the lovingness of the Lord Jesus. So we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn, number 4. Somebody start that hymn.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now I spring, I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me.
Salvation. Let me start that, please, for me. Number 29. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Well, I think it's so wonderful, dear ones, to hear the Lord Jesus took the time to speak with these ones. And the people, it says that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And we really, I hope that you really have a desire to hear the word of God. And this is, so to speak, that you won't hear me, but you'll hear what the word of God says. You know, this book is not just words on a page. It's the word of God. You've heard words tonight right from the lips of the Lord Jesus. You've heard too, and you can get the sense of the words of the two incidents that we read, of his kindness, of his love. How he's so gentle in speaking like this. And that's the way it is in this time right now. Oh dear one, at the very start of this meeting, I want to tell you, I want you to be concerned of the fact it's not always going to be like that. There is judgment ahead for this world. The solemn thing to stand here to greet judgment. The Lord Jesus has come first in grace and love and given out a kind, loving invitation to whosoever will. Whosoever will, anybody, going to respond to that, or are you just going to put it off? Well, these people here, they pressed upon him. They wanted to hear the word. You know, it's sad to say, the day that we live now, not too many people really want to hear the word of God. You know as well as I do that we try and get into school, take it off your license plate. Just anything at all that would prick their conscience about the fact that there is a God and a sinner before God. No, remove that. Remove it. We don't want to be heard of that. Well, dear one, I want to tell you again right at the very start, it's not always going to go on. There's a day coming in which the Lord Jesus is going to step in. Things will be drastically changed. This is the last meeting of this conference that we've had in such a lovely time with the Word of God, thinking of the Lord Jesus and his love for us and speaking about eternal life today. How privileged we are to sit under the sound of the Word of God. Dear children, I don't know, maybe you've kind of thought, oh, Mom and Dad are a little hard on me. You know, they make me, I can't go here and I can't do this. I was that way when I was young, rebelling against my mom and dad. I love them dearly, but I tell you, I wanted to go a different way. I wanted to go a different way, and I'm very, very thankful that he rescued me from that and put the chains on me, if I can put it that way, and stopped me from that. Oh, it's wonderful when someone presents you with a message like that, and so that you can, what shall I say, get straightened out. Listen to a dear one, God's word is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. He can look right down in your heart and he knows what you're thinking. He knows how you're going to say. Every time you talk to the Lord, you told him that you're a sinner. That you're a sinner. And Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that he died for sinners. That's another thing we need to start from the very beginning of this meeting. And be reminded once more of what I was last night, too. All have sinned and come short. All have sinned and come short. Oh, my soul, glad that the Lord Jesus made it so plain. Every single one has sinned. I hope you believe. I hope you've got that right down inside. You know, I don't have to tell you, I don't think. You know that you've sinned. You know. And furthermore, sinned against God. God is holy, and one. He's holy. You can't have sin in his presence. You want to be where he is? The Lord Jesus, something has to get done then to go sin. They have to be forgiven. They have to be dealt with. Put your trust in him, he'll take those sins. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, he put them right at the very bottom of the ocean. Gone. He's the only one that can wash your sins away. The only one is the Lord Jesus, who died on that center cross, who hung there and suffered and bled and died. He shed his precious blood there. He's the only one who was willing to come, and he went there and did that complete work there, that complete sacrifice that was required, and did it lovingly. He laid down his life. He didn't talk back. Nothing like that at all. Amazing to think of his love. He went there. We've had a little in our meetings this morning of all that they did to that precious one there. They hated him. And they, all the evil there, I think it says somewhere, by wicked hands, they took the Lord Jesus and crucified him. And if I'd been there, I would have done the same. So would you. So much. He bore all that. Allowed man to stretch his hands out there like that on the cross. Put nails on him. Put his feet on the mouth. Put a title on the Jew. A little argument over that. And all those things that they did to him. Why? Why? You know, someone once said, it's true. Many of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus he went through were not necessary to put your sin in. Why did he do it? To show you how much he loved you. To show you how much he loved you. You know, the more they did to him, it just revealed my heart and your heart and their heart more and more how much they hate him. But oh, he came in such love like that, and there went to that cross, laid down his head, shed his precious blood, so that that invitation can go out to you right tonight, whosoever will. Amen. Won't you accept it? Won't you turn and bow your head and say, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I want to have you as my Savior. Then you'll be a child again and fit for glory. Well, how wonderful that is, dear ones. They pressed to hear the word of God. They stood by the lake of Gennesaret. You know, the Lord Jesus, he came all the way down from heaven. Man! Why? To reveal God's heart. That's why. We had it today again in our meeting. What God is. God is love. God is light. He sees us. He is. That's his nature. He's love. He's love. Oh, how sad it is to hear people say, well, if God is a God of love, why would you tell us? Never, never looking at yourself and seeing themselves as God sees us, apart from him and in their sin. Oh, may you, dear ones, listen and listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. You know, these ones here, they were washing their nets, and the Lord Jesus, he launched out a little bit like that, and he sat down and he taught the people of the boat. Isn't that bit of lovely scene beside that lake? The Lord Jesus there in that boat, and he taught them. He spoke to them. And spoke to them about his Father, spoke to them too about their need, how loving he was. He cared about them, dear ones. God cares for you. He cares about you. He doesn't want to have to send you to that awful, awful place called hell. He doesn't want to send you there. But if you do not accept him, the Lord Jesus is your Savior. There's no other choice. There's no other choice. Well, I trust you will listen to these things. They did. They listened to the Lord. Here. You know, I've been kind of struck. You all know the story of Abraham. The Lord spoke to him. And Abraham got all the instruction from God. And Abraham believed it, and he did exactly what God told him, and blessing came. We know the story too of Samuel. When he was there, the Lord spoke to him. Samuel listened. Listened very intently. And he followed. And when what was spoken to him, he got his instruction from God. What about Jonah? What did he do? He got some instructions from God. He went the other way. He said, no, I don't want to hear that. And he got in a boat and went just entirely the opposite way. The opposite way. God woke him up. He had to go through to get away from God. You won't have to be like that. But get your instructions right from this book. From a God who loves you, cares about you. He knows that he sent his Son down into this world. And God knew what they would do to him. God knew that. God knew that at the end of 33 years what they were going to do to him, but he still sent him his Son. It was the only way of salvation. So, you know, one thing is that to hear the Word of God, to listen to it, like it appears to me that a lot of most in this room are doing, listening to the Word of God. But it's quite another thing when that Word gets down into your heart and you make that the decision of your life. You make that the what you want to live by. You accept it as what it is to be the Word of God. You can very, as it were, very, very politely, I can put it that way, reject God's Word. Just ignore it, don't say too much about it, and go on your way. You can do that. As I said, God knows your heart. God knows it. And, you know, dear ones, often said, when you read the book of Revelation there, and you see in there what's going to happen when the end comes, and it speaks there about a book, and it speaks about names in a book, and it says, whosoever's name was not found written in the book, mind would tremble in that voice. You know, I've often felt and want to compare that back in the land of Egypt. You remember there when the Israelites were there, God starting to work there. They had to take a lamb. They had to kill that lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and lintel over the top. And then they went inside that house for that night there. And they fed upon that roasted lamb. But if the blood was not on the door, the Lord was very faithful in killing the most precious. The oldest person in the host of God. If you were the oldest one in that household, I can just imagine what you'd be like that night. Come on, Dad, let's get this done. The word spoken is very clear. Come on, Dad, we've got to do something tonight. Let's go get this little lamb. Let's do it. Let's follow the Lord's instructions. I want to see the blood of the door. Hurry up. Let's go. Please. See, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You know, it's so clear in God's word. So clear. It's the same message tonight that judgment is coming. But the Lord Jesus, in His love and grace, He held them off. Held that off, but the moment is going to come, dear ones, when the time is going to come, it's going to be too late. Too late. And if your name's not written in that book, it'll be too late. Too late. Paul's in worry at all. I like to think of it like this, the finger of God is the word running down that page looking for your name. And you stand there in the blazing light, so to speak, of all His holiness. Speechless, the word says. Speechless. You've heard the gospel. Speechless. God looks for your name. You can't find it. Can't find it. You get another opportunity.
I don't read that in the Bible.
Don't read. Oh, be sure it's there. Just like that old boy in the land of Egypt. I'm sure that he was that night. He was right there beside his dear dad and saw through it that that got to him. The Lord went through that land that night. And everyone that had the blood on the door saved. If it wasn't there, God's faithful. Death came. Death came. Don't be too late. Don't be too late. And it'll be a time too when you're don't expect it, that the Lord Jesus will come. And there won't be as it were, wow, this is the day. This is the day. No. The Lord Jesus is going to come any moment, might be in the middle of the night, and all the blackness of night will be burst into glory. As those who love Him and put their trust in Him are taken up there to heaven. But you, if you're not saved, are left behind. Left behind for judgment. Oh, how sad that is. How sad that is. Don't be too late. I remember one time I was coming home. And I got up there to the Detroit airport. And I landed and then I had to get a little airplane in there to where I live near London, Ontario. And I knew it was kind of a close connection. And on top of that, the plane was a little late in leaving. And then another thing is that quite a long distance you have to go when you catch these little planes. They are in a little terminal building that's quite a distance from the main airport. I ran. I didn't stop to get anything. I didn't stop to do anything. I just grabbed my bag. Ran for that door as fast as I can. I knew it was gate, let's say 2C. I forgot what the actual number was. Got there. The door was gone. Too late. Too late. I spoke to the girl who did that. She said, "Can I get on?"
it all too late. I want it won't be too late for the offer of the Lord Jesus extends to you this very night. This very night. He's told us that he's going to come and give a shout, and all those that know him as their Savior are going to leave. And those that don't know him are going to be left behind. Not another chance. Well, everyone, be sure of these things. God cannot have sin in heaven. Cannot have sin. And he, in his love, he's given his beloved Son, sent him into this world. And the Lord Jesus came down willingly. And he went to the cross of Calvary. Died there for you so that salvation can be offered for you. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for you, dear one. That's why he went to the cross. And oh, if you'll only take your place like that as a lost sinner before him. That's truly what repentance is seeing yourself as God sees you, a sinner. And turning to him and asking him to save you. Asking him to wash your sins away. Do it tonight, dear one. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to come. We don't know. And anything can happen, can it? Back in the office where I work, there's a young man there. And he has a sister, and his mom and dad got into marital problems, and the father left the home. So he was left there with his mother and his sister. One day, while he was at work, he got a phone call. There had been a bad accident, very bad accident, and his mother and his sister were taken. And he was devastated. He was just devastated. Broke into tears. And, you know, went to the funeral home. He couldn't even talk. He just bowed his head as it were, and tears would come. I can understand that, how sad it is. Sad that is, his mother, his sister, his father had deserted them. He was left alone. Oh, dear ones, you know, I just speak to him about the Lord, and I don't see any response. And the time goes on, and he's kind of gotten more and forgotten about these things now. God speaketh once, yea, twice, if man perceiveth his mind. He doesn't always strive, dear one. The day's going to come in which it's going to stop. And I could go on. There's many more stories like that in which tragedies and accidents and things like that have come and God speaks. Does man listen? Thankfully, sometimes they do. I hope you've listened tonight. I really do. And make the Savior your Savior. Ask him to wash your sins away. He'll be easy. And he'll do it. Instantly. And you'll be on your way to heaven. To be with him. Forgiven. Forgiven. That's all that matters, dear one. Just forgiven. I've often, hope you don't mind me telling the story, I've often, my dad gave me a little poem one time, and that was the heading of it, Forgiven. And it was about a man who came to know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and he just rejoiced in that fact that he was forgiven. Well, the Lord took him home, and he was buried in a graveyard, and they put a headstone up to mark where he was buried. That's all it said.
Forgiven.
Forgiven. You walked through that graveyard, you know, and like the little poem, I can't quote it, like it says, it doesn't say anything else. His name, when he was born, when he died, or tells of his worth and anything like that, of anything that he'd done. The one important thing in his life, he was forgiven. Forgiven. He knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. His sins were gone. He was forgiven. You can have that too, dear one, this very night. You can have that. Oh, I hope that you'll accept that this night. You know, these ones here, I don't think in a certain way there's anyone here who really believes that you're going to get to heaven by good works. I hope not. Because I'll tell you right now that no, you won't. These ones here, like it says in our little story, they fished all night and caught nothing. 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 And it's only, dear ones, when the Lord Jesus comes into our life, like he did here, they kind of had a little bit of doubt. They were washing their nets. Do you notice the S on the end of that net? Nets. More than one. The Lord Jesus said, let down your nets. And let down your nets, more than one, into the ocean or into the sea. How many did they let down? Sounds to me like they only let down one. Just one. There was a little bit of doubt there, maybe, in their minds. But look at the blessing that came. And that's our God, dear one. He blesses. He blesses. He loves to do that. Just one net let down, and the thing, and it was just filled. Just filled. That's our God. He loves to do that. Oh, I hope that you'll turn to him like that. He'll bring blessing into your life. You'll be the happiest person when your sins are gone like that and you're on your way home to glory. Well, Simon Peter saw this and he did the right thing, didn't he? He got down on his knees before the Lord Jesus and he realized right there that the one that he was looking at was the Lord of glory, God's beloved Son. He got that glimpse of who that man was that was there beside the seaside, the Lord Jesus himself. And he got down and took that right place before him. And he said, depart from me, O Lord, from a sinful man. He acknowledged that he was a sinner. And he acknowledged, too, that God was holy, because that's why he wanted him to depart. And so he saw his need there. And the Lord Jesus came in and met him in that need. Well, I hope, dear ones, that you'll do that this night, this very, very night. The second man here that we read of, he had leprosy. Leprosy in Scripture speaks of sin. And that man too, the Lord Jesus was there. He fell down before the Lord Jesus. And he took that place. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thou canst make me clean. To the Lord, was there any hesitation on the Lord's part? Not a bit. I will. Be thou clean. And that leprosy left that man. Oh, what a complete work the Lord Jesus does. And he's willing to do that to you tonight. And don't ever think, dear one, just because your mom and dad are Christians and just because you're kind of used to hearing the gospel that, well, maybe you're not quite as bad as sinner and maybe you really don't need to do this. I don't know what's going through your mind, but there's only one way to come to the Lord Jesus. And we've read it tonight in two different incidents. Peter, who got down before the Lord Jesus, low before him, and cried to the Lord for mercy, and likewise this leprous man, full of leprosy, not a hope of anything else but to die in his sin. And along comes the Lord Jesus Christ, puts his hand there and touches him and heals him. He'll do the same for you tonight if you'll turn to him. He'll do that. He won't turn you down. No, indeed not. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. At the same time, though, dear one, there's that solemn verse there in Matthew there where the Lord Jesus spoke and he said, "Enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the road that leads down to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life." Which way are you going to choose? Joshua says, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Make the choice, dear one, for the Lord Jesus. That road that leads down, 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 that's the road that Jonah went on. When he went his own way, and he thought that he was going to be get away from the presence of God. He went down, down, down. But God interposed there and turned his life around. And if you'll turn to him this night, he'll do the same for you. He loves you. He loves you. He'll take all those sins and wash them away. In the blood of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I hope that you won't put that off. But you know, if you do, it's very solemn. Judgment is coming. The end is that you, if you reject the Lord Jesus, we have to tell you faithfully from God's word that the end is a lost eternity. And there's no escape. There's no way out. And just remember this, before you make your decision, that hell wasn't prepared for you. Hell was not prepared. You know what it was prepared for? The devil and his angels. But if you don't accept the Lord Jesus, that's where you go, is into that place. And you will not go there, dear one, unloved. He loves you. He loves you very, very much. And you can flee from that. You can go away from it. You don't have to go there. God has blocked, someone has said, God has blocked the road to hell with the very cross of Christ. And you have to go around that cross if you're going to go there. You have to go around it. You've heard tonight, and if you were here last night, you heard too very clearly a message of salvation and how you must be saved. Ye must, like the hymn says, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. You must have that new life that God will give you. And you get it by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This man here who was a leper, he didn't, as if I can put it that way, waste any time. No, he cried out to the Lord Jesus. He saw his need. He didn't argue about it. He didn't try any other way. But he just accepted the Lord Jesus in faith. I hope you'll do that tonight, dear one. I hope you will. Because one really feels that the time is very, very short. Very soon the Lord Jesus is going to come. Here we are in the year 2008. 2008. And soon he's going to come. If you look very closely at Scripture, you'll find mention many, many times in the Bible, too. And it's kind of in connection to with the day of grace. That's what we are living in right now. The gospel goes forth. This is the gospel of the grace of God. As it were, someone said, it's like the prodigal son who was there way off in that far off land, feeding there in all the filth of the world. That's the gospel of the grace of God that would take a man like that who would rebel, and then he turned around and came back. Or that man that was lying half dead in the ditch, and the Lord Jesus came along and picked him up. That's the gospel of the grace of God. Well, you know, it also mentions, too, the gospel of the glory. It's a glorious gospel. Why? Because it brings us into the light of the Lord Jesus, the light of God's Word. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Won't you have it? Won't you have it? Not only is the gospel that you're saved from all that will come upon you if you turn from it, but it's a gospel of the glory of God, where He's home to glory with Christ forever and ever in that happy home above. Well, dear one, I hope you'll accept Him this very night. The last gospel meeting, the last meeting of the conference. We close now. We go back to our homes. And you can go tonight. You don't really have to wait, you know, till you get home. You can bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want You as my Savior. But if you don't, you can do it too tonight. If the Lord Jesus hasn't come before you go to bed tonight, get that straight with God. Confess your sins to Him. He loves you. He loves you dearly, dear ones. Oh, I hope that you'll do it this very, very night. It's an invitation, and you must accept it in order to be with Christ in glory. Do it tonight. Number 8. First and last verse, please. Hymn number 8. Shall we gather at His coming? We've been speaking a little bit of this, of the Lord's coming. You know, these hymns, I've often thought, they speak far more clearly than anything I can ever present to you. The Lord's coming, and shall, are you going to be there? And the assurance that you will be is in the chorus, the last line. If washed in the Savior's blood. Washed in the Savior's blood. Hymn number 8, the first and the last verse.
Shall we gather at His coming?
Glory, 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 glory
just gone, Father, we just commend the words spoken to thee this night, and we pray earnestly that there is one in this room still strengthened.